Welcome back to the Chasing Freedom Show. Today, I've got a super awesome guest, Andrew Glisson out of Memphis, Tennessee, burrs over 100 to 150 homes per year with two employees, and he's done this all by being an amazing operator, creating detailed systems. We're going to walk through all of his systems today. We're going to get granular even on the specific technology tools and companies that he's using to build that business. So you guys are going to want to follow this episode all the way through. One other little update for you. I've had a lot of people reach out and talk about how to either get started in real estate or grow from one flip or one rental to 5-10. And if that's something you guys are interested in doing, which is growing from being an operator, only able to do 1 to 2 flips a year, all the way up to maybe 5, 10, or 15, I'm going to start putting a Calendly link below. You guys will be able to book a call with me. If that's something you guys think is helpful, being able to grow your business, go ahead and jump on the call with me. I am excited and willing to see how I might be able to assist you in that journey. That's the whole point of the show, Chasing Freedom. And I want you guys to be able to chase that same freedom with me. So without waiting any longer, Andrew, welcome to the show. What's up, guys? Welcome back to the Chasing Freedom Show. Today, I've got a very special guest, a good friend of mine, and we've never actually met in person, which is pretty interesting. And yet, I mean, Andrew, we popped on, what, 4, 5, 6 calls at this point?
Exactly, yeah.
So Andrew's out of, you're out of Memphis, Tennessee, is that right?
Yep.
Okay, yep. Cool. So Andrew flips, man, hundreds of homes a year. He's got, his company's called Neighborhood Revival. They're doing some really amazing things and they're turning entire neighborhoods, and your strategy is burning almost all of these, correct?
Yeah, that's right. At scale. So we don't do like one at a time,
right?
You know, which a lot of people jump in and they find a bank and do one, you know, burr, but we try to accumulate, we try to buy and renovate at least 25 and then dump the whole portfolio into a cash out refi. That's fully renovated, fully optimized, the whole nine yards.
So interesting. So guys, just as a reference to what we're about to unpack here, Andrew is one of the most sophisticated investors I've personally met as far as systems, operations, a plan, a vision. This guy, I mean, I don't know what else to compare to other than like, he's like the David Goggins of flipping. This is serious. So, It's just been fun to be a part of your journey and get to know you as a friend. And I appreciate our friendship. And I'm very appreciative of this episode that we're about to drop for everybody listening, because I think there's a lot to learn. So I'm excited, man. Let's talk about that. So how do you buy, how do you do 25 at a time? Like, what does that look like? Are you buying portfolios? Are you just picking up? Have you built such a presence in your local marketplace that you have the ability to pick up that many deals at once? What does that look like?
A little all of the above, man. I mean, honestly, so, you know, when we first started buying, I was buying off of the MLS, you know, in a couple of neighborhoods that just had gotten overlooked a lot by local investors and stuff like that. And at the time, Memphis turned into our biggest market. But at the time, I was in Houston working full time for a Fortune 500 company. And you know, just had put all my money into real estate because I felt like the returns were better and more consistent and longer term than, you know, the stock market or anything else. And so I was like, I want to participate in that. Plus I had family in Memphis. So it was kind of like a, you know, I could travel back and do like a, you know, take it off my taxes and stuff like that. Yeah. as a travel expense, until my accountant was like, you're not a real estate professional, so that doesn't count, you know? So anyway, I started buying off the MLS, you know, driving through the neighborhood, trying to see like what is available, what do I want to buy. And then, you know, as the market has shifted and people started understanding the neighborhood a little bit better and the returns, and they were chasing what I was chasing, then, you know, I've been kind of forced into the wholesale method where I'm calling, you know, property owners direct. But I mean, I think in the beginning it was like wholesale. I hooked up with a guy who was running off basically an investor's portfolio in one of our neighborhoods that had gone bankrupt during the financial crisis. So I was able to pick off, you know, a lot of his low hanging fruit, garbage properties nobody wanted, been vacant for years, holes in the roof, the whole nine yards. And so as we started renovating those, we made a big presence in the neighborhood, because my strategy was to buy as much in a predefined geographic area that I could. And scoop up as much inventory as I could, renovate it all to a very high degree and high quality level. And then I started getting looks from people in the neighborhood. So, I mean, I bet, you know, 1 out of 10 properties that we own is somebody in the neighborhood that called our phone number off of our sign and was like, you know, my mom just passed away. we're selling the house. Do you want to buy it before we list it on the market? You know, young couple, we're moving up to a bigger house. They called me, hey, do you want to buy our house? Like, you know, you just did the house on both sides of us. So do you want to buy ours? It's like, absolutely. Yeah, so, I mean, I did a little bit of everything. Yeah, dude. So I think the only mistake that I made was I made a wholesaler mad early in the game because I didn't know that there was this really crappy shed out behind this house. It was huge, dude. It was like a 1,000-square-foot barn. And I had a contract to buy the place, realized this huge shed was in the backyard. So I like negotiated the guy like day before closing. I got to have some money off this property. He got real mad, hadn't called me back. But I mean, I've tried to like make friends through the whole process, and wholesalers are important. So they've been a big part of my growth too.
I like that you emphasize the relationship there at the end. And I think that's something that a lot of people starting off don't realize. Like, you've got to forecast and think a little further ahead and realize that, like, and I'm not gonna lie, I've made those same mistakes, but
yeah,
like, you've got to think further ahead and realize, okay, do I want to go back and risk pissing this person off over a $2,500 difference in my profit, $3,500 difference in my profit? Or do I want to keep that relationship strong, right? Maybe instead it was a communication, hey, in on future deals, if there's something like this that's going to need to be demoed, can you just at least let me know? Can you get pictures of the whole property before you sign it to me? I'll cut the loss on this one because I want to maintain a relationship, but I don't want to do it twice.
Yeah, exactly.
But then
that's what I should have done. And I mean, lesson learned, but look, I mean, there's a lot of opportunities and properties out there. So I just try not to burn bridges and, you know, be a good operator, both to, you know, stakeholders in the neighborhood. And I mean, it's important to make friends with neighbors and stuff like that, in addition to, you know, wholesalers, real estate agents, and that kind of stuff.
Yeah. So you have a farm is what you're talking about. You have a farming area is what some of like the wholesalers or people in the marketing industry would call it. So is it one zip code, two zip codes? What does that look like?
You know, it's actually a little bit more like geographically bound than that. So there are like heavily concentrated zip codes that we have most of our inventory in, but I would say that it's more of, I mean, have really put boots on the ground driving streets. And saying, you know, this is where I want to stay within on the north side. This is where I want to stay within on the east side, southwest. And then I just feel like as we have grown and done like that, there you have a better ability to influence a neighborhood in the right direction than if you're just trying to shotgun approach and spread things out. So when I first got started in the business, you mentioned, you know, have we bought portfolios in the past? The answer is yes, but I was looking, so I operate currently in Memphis and Indianapolis, and most of those two markets for us right now I've grown pretty organically, like ones and twos at the time. I bought packages of 26 before, 12, 15, stuff like that. But I was looking at a deal in Kansas City and that some guys brought us, and I went up there, was, you know, looking at stuff, renovated homes, garbage renovations, too spread out. And so it's hard to manage that. And it's hard to have any sort of influence in brand if you're all over the place. So my goal was to buy and never sell, and to buy everything as close to each other as I could. And so that's what I've tried to do.
I like that, man. I think that there's a lot to be pulled apart there, especially when you talk about the management of those properties. I mean, even in a flip business, I got to a point where I was flipping homes in Mountain Home, Idaho. I had one in Nessa, Oregon, which is like still, close to the Oregon border. We were looking at homes in Emmett, and it's like, man, if your crew didn't bring every single piece of material and tool that they would need that day, and they forgot one little piece of equipment after making a 45-minute drive, almost your entire day's killed. It's done. So, about halfway through, I'd done the same thing. Even though there were margin in those deals and good profits, we had to cut them off because I couldn't afford to send people that far out.
Sure. Yes. No. And that, and you bring up a good point too. Like that's another thing that I thought about, was that I'm pretty like micromanaging every single aspect of the business to the point where I want to try to build it, make it perfect, and then never deviate. And so I did that about the construction process, and it's very hard to build and train a crew that will do everything exactly how you want it in multiple markets. And so my strategy was to build as much concentration as I can in Memphis, keep guys busy, and then go to another market, do the same thing. And so I'm not one of those guys that's like, I'll buy a couple in Nashville. I'll buy a couple in Birmingham, see how it goes. Like if I drop into a city, like in Indy, when I dropped into Indy, I think I bought six at a time, you know, so you've got kind of a good base, you know? And so obviously in Memphis, we're up, you know, north of, 100, 50 plus or whatever. But, that was my strategy, was to try to, design the renovation process, build a crew that was good, hang on to them, give them work so they don't go somewhere else and stuff like that. We've obviously made mistakes along the way on that, but
absolutely,
You're always going to make some mistakes.
That's a prerequisite to success, right? You have to fail to succeed.
Exactly.
Oh, dude. Okay. So I don't know how granular we can get on this, but like, can you walk me through, like pretend I walked into your office and you're trying to hand me the keys to have me run these projects, right? Is there like a step 1 through 10, or at least from a high level view, like, hey, step one is we're going to underwrite. Here's some of the metrics. Step two is we're going to walk the property and we're going to do a floor plan. Here's what that looks like. Step three is can we go through that for your business?
Yeah. So it's taken me a long time to get here. Lots of spreadsheets, talking to a lot of modeling experts to build, exactly what I want. But yeah, so essentially, we're a bit different than a lot of folks. We are an acquisitions machine. So we will buy, and we'll buy at scale, and we can take down, a single house or a portfolio pretty quickly and make decisions very fast. We renovate all of our own properties. So I'm a general contractor, a licensed general contractor in the state of Tennessee. I only have my general contracting license because local code enforcement was we had a misunderstanding about something, and I had to go pay somebody $5,000. And I was like, I'm never going to do that again. I had to pay a general contractor. So I was like, you're not going to like hold that under me again. So anyway, I got my general contractor's license. So we build and renovate our own homes. And then finally, we property manage our own real estate and take care of all of our tenants and stuff like that. We do a few flips when it makes sense, but not our my primary business model is buy, renovate, and lease. Okay. So from the very beginning, and you just stop me and tell me where you want to, deviate or whatever. But in the very beginning, I run every acquisition through my model. So if it's a single acquisition, I can do it in my head at this point, because I know exactly like what neighborhood it's in, how much it's going to rent for. I can take one quick look at the property and know exactly like it's going to cost me $65,000 to renovate that home. And so now I don't run single acquisitions through the model, but if we're doing a portfolio, I put it in the model, and it's a very sophisticated model that it allows me to put how many units it is, manually account for every operating expense that's there. It accounts for the loan that I'm going to get, and how many basis points and closing points and the whole nine yards. What's the interest rate? What's the term? Everything, and then it will show me cap rate and rate of return, internal rate of return, the whole nine yards. So we can run every acquisition through the model. So that's step number one if we're buying a portfolio, to do that, to underwrite it, make sure it works. And then of course, within that goes, what's the acquisition price and then what's the renovation, budget. And so we have to look at every property, but what I've done is that there's really two employees of Neighborhood Revival that are full-time, me and my brother, who I hired, in December. And I just went full-time with the company in January. I was, working full-time for another company, until really January of this year. So, we've been building this along the way, but what we have found is that, and my brother is very tech oriented and systems oriented, and neither of us have a background in real estate or property management. So we built it with the idea that we're going to be as efficient as we can be, and build something that's totally unique and different in the industry. So I have built a design book that has within it everything that I want to that house to look like. I want a cage on the HVAC, a condenser unit outside. I want an iron door on the back. I want a Craftsman door on the front. I want, the windows have to be like this and installed like this, and the shutters are this size. So there's a design book that goes
on all of your burrs.
No, not all of them, but I'm just saying if it has shutters, they have to be built like this. They have to be this size. And then there's like specific color schemes that we have. And then I have a materials list that marries with that design book. So our contractor has to follow the materials list perfectly, follow the design book perfectly, and that's what comes out of the renovation process. So what we've done is we have designed using software a process to where anybody, you, me, my mom could take this, could take a cell phone, walk through a property, check a series of buttons and checklists and boxes. And what comes out of that is basically what we want done and what we have to do to that house to renovate it. So as a contractor, I can look at that and say, I need 36 electrical outlets replaced, 12 light switches, 4 ceiling fans. I have to replace likely floor joists in the kitchen because there's rotten wood. I need this number of cabinets. So that way I can build what the materials are going to cost. This format builds it for us. And then it's just a matter of what is the labor going to cost, on top of that, which, we've got some metrics that we can build in the labor cost. So I know exactly what it's going to cost me to do this renovation and then exactly what I have to do on that renovation. I just file that in the property record in my, share drive. I build a renovation spreadsheet and, that for initial inspection is part of it. So that's when we look at a house. So when we're acquiring something, we go through and we build our renovation list and budget off of the first tour. So we've got all the pictures, we've got everything we need. I never have to go back into that property. The next time I go in, I can go in with a contractor and we're demo. So that's step number one. So that, and that saves a lot of time too. So there's no getting quotes when we close. When we close, I've got guys coming in the next day to do demo. And so within that process, we also have a series of tasks. So we're really task oriented. Everything that we do is based off of tasks. Our acquisitions are task oriented. Our renovations are task oriented. Property management, the whole nine yards. Everybody has predefined tasks that they have to do. Once we load the address and we type acquisition and closing date, the tasks pre-populate with all the forms that we have to fill out. Everything gets dropped into our phone that we have to do. And so we're off to the races. So the second that we close on that property, utilities have already been transferred into our name. We already have our renovation budget established. We have a contractor selected. We know exactly what we're going to do. And we've got the demo crew arranged and ready to go. The second that we close, the day after we get the keys, we've got the lockbox on the door. We're ready to go. So it eliminates tons of time. I don't wait for 2 weeks like a lot of people do, getting quotes from the tile guy who didn't show up and I got to go meet him over there, 3 days later after we've closed and we have this house. So timing's everything for me. I can't afford to have a stale asset that's out there. I got some right now, okay? I have a lot of stale assets that I haven't, that are in different portfolios that I don't have the money to renovate at the moment in that specific portfolio. And so I got to, but as we've perfected this process, now this is kind of how we operate and how we do it. So long story short, once we bring that acquisition in, my timeline to renovate, I've tracked every single renovation I've ever done. I know exactly how long it took me to do it to the day. And then after I get done with that renovation, I also track when the first person moved in after the renovation was complete. So it takes me 44 days on average to fully turnkey a property. And then 21 days after that renovation is closed before somebody moves in. Okay. So that's 60, 64 days from the second I close on a house. So it's making money for me, right? 2 months.
Apps, by the way, guys.
2 months. So that there is no way that we would be able to do that if we did not have contractors trained, design book, materials list, tasks, everything pre-agreed, scheduled out, the whole nine yards. So, and then once somebody moves in or says that they want to move in, it gets into the property management system where we've got, tasks for move-ins and, inspections and the whole nine yards. So, and then we're confident at this point when a home goes through our process that we've built at the moment. I call these our generation three neighborhood revival renovations. Gen three homes, when somebody moves in, there are no problems. It's all perfect. We know it is. We've had it professionally inspected. We've gone through our inspection checklist, which we inspect for over 400 unique items in every single home before somebody moves in. And so I'm confident I'm handing the keys to somebody and that asset's going to perform very well. And if I get a call, I'm going to be pissed from a maintenance perspective. And so, and then it just goes into the evergreen, kind of 365 service process where we're just off and now we can focus on something else. So in a nutshell, that's how we do it. And we do that with two full-time people. And we can process 30, 35 renovations at a time right now.
That's insane. So Andrew, what do you, how do you quantify revenue in this BRRRR model that you've built out? So are you looking at the equity you're creating? Because I'm assuming you're coming in with your equity stays in the deal as far as your down payment, and you're able to extract all your own cash back out, and you have nothing into these deals. So at the end of the year, you say, hey, we've generated X amount in equity, and then we did some flips, and we also probably pulled some cash out. Like, what do you quantify as the revenue in a BRRRR model?
Yeah, you know, the only revenue that we quantify is rent roll at the moment. Okay. So rent roll for us is, you know, our operating income minus expenses and mortgage debt. And then, you know, that is really our, what I class is the business's revenue. And so, you know, from a top line perspective, we're doing over $2 million a year in, you know, in rent roll with all of our properties. And I mean, I think by the time that we renovate everything that we have, like kind of on standby that we're getting ready to swing hammers on, we're probably going to be, you know, closer to four with everything that we just have in inventory that are ready to go and swing hammers on at the moment. So the flips are outside of that because we can't guarantee that income. Like we do count it obviously in our CPA at the end of the year, you know, adds it all up, but it doesn't go into budgeting because I don't know how the market's going to go, and I may buy one and not be able to sell it, you know, this year that I want to flip and didn't flip, and I can't because nobody wants to buy it. So the only thing that we budget off of is rent roll at the moment. Yeah. But yeah, I mean, to answer your question, you know, we do look at, you know, metrics on how much equity we create. And I would tell you that I just did a cash out refi on a portfolio and built and created $1 million in equity. And so I spent $3.1 million on the portfolio, and it just appraised for 4.1. And so that's $1 million in equity on one of my portfolios. And that is how you build a big business and get rich in real estate.
Absolutely. So to go back to, as you broke down your business, there's one part of it that I think probably everyone's sitting on their edge of the seat, figure out. What does that software look like? Did you buy some software? Did you build it? Did you create it? Did you customize it? That where you're like, you can send someone through you said you put the address in and it pre-populates the tasks and then assigns it to the right person.
Yeah. So my brother, Jonathan, is one of the smartest, you know, really kind of systems people that I know. I have a ton of respect for him, and really the process he goes through to identify software for us and then buy it. So when I hired him in December, I just told him, I was like, look, here's what I hate about what I'm currently doing and how I have to, and how I want to change things. And your job is to go and sort this out and figure it out. So the first change that Jonathan made was our property management software. We were using a group called Propertyware at the time, which I had made the decision to switch from a company called Buildium to Propertyware. And we were doing tasks in Propertyware, but there was no focus on it within the software. It was kind of on the side, like you can use these tasks if you want to. And that was super important to me because how else are you going to keep up with like when you need to do an inspection and when you need to, you know, have utilities transferred and like all these questions, like there's no way to keep up with it. It's a disaster. It's crazy. That's why people hire, you know, 10 people that have a business as big as I do, because they got to have one person that manages utilities, you know? So I was like, you've got to find a software that, you know, can make us more efficient around contractors, you know, interacting with tenants, the whole nine yards. So he found AppFolio. We made a switch to AppFolio. It solved the problem. It solved a couple problems, but not all of them. It solved the problem of how we interact with tenants. We can text them all now. How we interact with contractors. We can text contractors. The way they organize data, super smart. But the other software that Jonathan found was we were looking at inspection software. And we were using the inspection software that we were using was Happy Inspector at the time. Not customizable at all. I mean, you can add, you know, a bedroom and then I want to, you know, identify if the light switch operates in a bedroom, but that's not what we needed. I needed an inspection software that could marry with the task management software and put those together. That was super customizable, that we could, you know, scale and add to all parts of our business. Cause we're not just a property manager. Again, we're not an acquisitions company. We're not just a construction company. So we found a group called iAuditor. It's a software that is really for accounting, auditing, accounting firm. And so we were able to load our tasks lists into iAuditor as well as our inspection protocols and put those two together. And so we've customized this like massively for what we do. And that's really the foundation, iAuditor, of our business task management and really operational efficiency. That's the foundation of it. And so, and then on top of that, you know, we have route planning software. So if we need to go to the field, we're not driving from one house to the next. We've got the most efficient route. I mean, it's all about saving time, right? So we can do other things than manage our real estate. We want to have time for our families. We want to, you know, go have fun. We don't want to sit here and drive all afternoon. I do, because I like driving and I like going to look at all my projects and I don't care about route planning. But if I got Jonathan in the field and we got, you know, 10 inspections, we're going the right way. So anyway, iAuditor is the main software, the main platform, but they haven't built it for what we use it for. We customize it. We built it ourselves.
Interesting. I love that you guys, that Jonathan got creative there and he looked at, okay, what other industries are doing kind of what we need to do and how do we morph it together? Yeah. What did marrying, I mean, we're just going to get granular here, but like what did marrying those two softwares look like? So you took the task management software and the accounting software, you blended them together. Was that like what did they call that? API or something, or how did that
work? Yeah. So, I forgot one thing. Another software that we use is ClickUp, and ClickUp is a task software. So I said that we married these two. So we have ClickUp and iAuditor working together. iAuditor is mostly our inspection platform and ClickUp is our task management platform, but they work so seamlessly together that in my mind, it's all the same. But yeah. It's not very different. But Jonathan again found ClickUp for us, and okay. So what happens? And then we also use an integration software called Zapier. That when Zapier can somehow behind the scenes find ways to connect a process in one program and integrate that process into another program, and then when certain series of steps happen, it can go back into the other program. I mean, it's like way above my head because I'm not the tech guy. But what happens is that when we have like an acquisition, for instance, we've built a series of templates that do what we want them to do. So we have a acquisitions template, a construction template, post-construction, move in, move out, different things. So yeah. Like for instance, when I am buying a home, I will load the acquisitions template and then it builds the tasks that I have to accomplish and then builds the inspection documents within iAuditor that we have to complete. And okay. So then if I check the task, it opens up my ability to do the inspection. When I finish the inspection, it goes back to ClickUp to do the next step.
So where are the templates built? Google Drive or?
So the templates are built, we kind of mind map them out at the office on a whiteboard. Mm-hmm. And really we're like, what is everything that we do when we buy a house from like start to finish? How many steps are there? And there were, you know, I don't know, 25 steps in buying a house, from earnest money, how it gets wired, what account it comes from, what, the whole nine yards. Where the purchase and sale agreement gets saved, like where the amendments get saved, like what drive, what folder are they on? So we had to go way back into how do we save data in our systems, right? Where is the folder for that property? What entity is that property in? Who owns the entity? The whole nine yards. I mean, obviously Neighborhood Revival owns it, but we have different businesses. And we have folders, you know, we have like Neighborhood Revival as a main folder. And then the entity that owns the property. And then there's like a lease or a renovation and a purchase folder within that. So we had to go way back into how do we think about this data? Like ultimately, where is all this going to go? And then we just built the system and the process from there. And so once we were able to mind map that, we put it onto a Word doc, which is saved in, you know, our share drive, but then we built our task system off of that Word doc.
Okay. So your templates are in your drive, you fill your template out, right? And then your template gets saved in the drive. And then does that, you can upload that template to the task management software?
You have to build the tasks off of your template.
Okay.
So like step number one is, you know, sign the purchase and sale agreement. Make sure you receive a final signed copy from, you know, the listing agent or the wholesaler or whatever. And that step on our Word document is a task within ClickUp. So once I click the task, once I receive the document back fully signed from the wholesaler, the listing agent or whatever, I load that into our drive. And then step number one in ClickUp, the box is checked. And we move to step number two, which is send earnest money. And then, you know, I'll call, send the earnest money, check the box. Step number three is, you know, inspect the property. And as soon as we get to the inspect the property task, iAuditor has our inspection document that we go run with and inspect the property. When that's done, that task gets checked. And then we either walk away from the property or we continue. If we continue, and the next step is, you know, add a lockbox to the door, you know, closing, our attorney signs for us. He has power of attorney. I don't go anywhere to close documents. He signs on our behalf. I don't, you know, want to go mobile notaries, don't care. Like, I'm not going to a closing office. And then we require that the listing agent or the wholesaler add the key, put the keys in our lockbox, which is already on the door. If it's vacant, if it's not vacant, then there's a next series of steps that we have to go collect all the tenant information and all that kind of stuff, add it to our system. So that's kind of how it's built. So if ClickUp went away tomorrow, like we know in our Word doc, it's all saved. Like we can rebuild it in another program. So we're not dependent. We've got it saved a couple of different places. But it helped us to identify like every single step in that process, where the information goes, where it comes from, who do we get it from. That way, to your point or your comment, your question a lot earlier was, you know, if you walked in tomorrow, you know, and you had to take over the business, would you know what to do? And the answer is yes. Because even within ClickUp, we have screenshots. Jonathan's built screenshots that'll take you through the steps. So like the other day, Jonathan, I'm usually not the one who actually sends the lease out for signing and stuff like that, and then gets that home ready for somebody to move in. But I had to do it because, you know, our team was busy. We were overloaded. We had a lot of projects going on. So I was like, all right, I got to do this. How do I do it? And Jonathan was literally like, go put the address in parentheses, put the tenant's last name, and then create the template called Move In. And I did it and literally went through his instructions step by step, and it was perfect. And so that I had never done that before, and I had to do it. And it was completely seamless. So all of those instructions are built into every single process that we go through in this business.
So, okay. I freaking love this because really what this does is it gives you freedom inside of your business. Yes. It gives you freedom to step in when you need to, and you can address something, you can fix it. It gives you freedom to step away when you need to. Like Andrew, like I fully believe that if tomorrow you decided you needed to go all in with your family for the next 36 months and you didn't want to spend more than 5 hours a week on your business, you could probably replace someone inside of your role, have them take over. And I would guess within 30 to 45 days, they'd be completely trained up and you could step out.
100%. I mean, the problem with businesses in, you know, this country, and it's not just this country, whatever. I mean, the problem is that most organizations that call themselves businesses are not businesses. And so one of my mentors told me this a long time ago that, you know, if the owner of 90% of all businesses stepped away, there's no more revenue, the business dies, it's over. And so my strategy in building my company was that I want to build an actual company and an organization to where I'm not important in the company. And Jonathan's not important as he is. You know, we need to build something that's sustainable for my family, for his family. And we both, you know, all of our income, a bunch of our income comes out of this business. So, you know, if something were to happen to me, like I need somebody to step in and be able to run this so my wife and my kid can survive and live. And so I'm totally confident. We have built a machine that can run itself. And by the way, it makes it a whole lot easier on us as guys who run the business. It's just the two of us, and we can design this the way we want it to be, and we can really maximize, you know, the ability of technology to enable us to become more efficient. And so we can, again, spend time doing other things that we want to do and not just, you know, working on spreadsheets and stuff like that. So, I mean, the whole goal was to create something that, you know, was an actual sustainable business long term.
I love that, man. I think that's so impactful. And I mean, let's give the listeners a little synopsis of, like, a little snapshot of what your life looks like now. So how many hours a week do you think you're working? What are the high level, most impactful tasks that you're doing in your business on a weekly basis? And where do you want to take that over the next 12, 24, 36 months?
Yeah. So I guess I'd have to think about that. I mean, I spend way more time in this business than I should. I mean, it's way more than a full-time job for me. I mean, I'm probably thinking about this in it, doing it all day, every day. I mean, I wake up at a lot of times, Noah. I'm up literally at 3:30, 4 o'clock in the morning, and I'm reading publications on the off day. Huh?
I say you are David Goggins. I said that offline before we started recording.
Dude, I can literally show you right now. I've got a bookmark, you know, list that I have 24 different websites. I subscribe to a lot of them and pay for research websites. I go through every single day to see what the headline is on, you know, everything from mortgage interest to, you know, builder demand, you know, kind of issues, stuff like that. I'm going through all that stuff constantly. I mean, I live, eat, and breathe this business. I'm super passionate about it. So that's not a fair question. Like, how much time do I spend on this business? It's a lot, but I will tell you that, I do have the ability to step away from it. I took my family down to Galveston over the weekend of the 4th, because that's where we have some family down in Galveston, Texas. And, we were there for 3 days, and I mean, sure, I was, like, you know, reading some emails and stuff like that, but there was nothing that anybody needed from me. I didn't have to jump on a conference call. I didn't, you know, have to work on a spreadsheet. I did work with a guy in California who's a modeling expert. I redesigned my spreadsheet to make it to where, you know, banks ask for rent roll and data tapes all the time. That's what they want. Like, send me the rent roll and the data tape. And so I have basically added every single property that I own into, like, a master data tape, and I collect 90 unique items of information on every single home. And I have different tabs on the spreadsheet that I can click bank and send the bank everything they need to know, insurance carrier and send the insurance carrier everything. And it literally pulls from, you know, that one sheet. So when we figured something out, I blow it up and reinvent the wheel. So there's never going to be, like, a stopping point to this, Noah. Like, it's a very bad obsession. So the next step for us is, honestly, Jonathan and I have worked tirelessly for the last, just look at the clock, got to leave in about 10 minutes. But Jonathan and I have literally worked tirelessly on something that is little talked about, but is a huge problem in the rental property space. And that is scamming, rental property scamming. And so we had a couple of our listings get taken over by some scammers, and a couple of folks that we found out about, you know, got taken advantage of. All of our listings are remote. And so we do self tours. We don't have leasing agents. We don't pay commissions. It's another way we save money. But, you know, it is a lockbox that you can get a code via text message if you go through our system and let yourself into that house. So, of course, guys are figuring out how to get around that. So Jonathan and I put it at the top of our list to solve that problem. And we did. It took us 7 days and we solved it. And we're never going to have a scammer take our listings over again. And so that was kind of a sidebar on our main strategy. But our main strategy right now is to further integrate our ClickUp, our iAuditor, and our AppFolio property management software to where it's even more efficient than it is right now. And there's a couple things that we're going to do that are just going to free up hours and hours and hours of our time. And so we're really kind of focused on building that. I want to be able to run 500 units with two people. I think I can. I think that we can do, I can do 30 renovations at a time. Every, every 60 days, I can be doing 30 new renovations at a time. And I feel like we can get our systems organized to a point to where we can operate 500 units with two full-time office people and one field person. So that's the goal.
You've broken so many paradigms. I kind of want to summarize this episode real quick. And Andrew, feel free to fill in anywhere I'm missing. I want to just go back to the beginning. I want the listeners to write this down if they have the ability to. But first off, you started off with being intentional about what you were going to build and how you were going to do it. Intention. You didn't necessarily know how, but you knew you were going to be intentional about it. Then you picked a farm. You picked an area. You defined the location and the metrics of what you would, but also what you wouldn't buy. Where you would, but also where you wouldn't buy, right? Then you didn't let these kind of industry standard blocks stop you from being able to progress. I look at your business and even in my head, and I've been operating for a few years now, I go, oh my God, Andrew needs more people. No, I need better systems. It's the other way around, right? So you relied on technology. And you also, even just in one of the small little things you said you had the wholesalers or the agents put keys in the lockbox. Holy crap. If I had done that over the last year, I would have bought back my operations manager, my runners, probably 40, 50 hours over the course of a year. But then you do that year after year after year after year. And there's significant savings, not only savings, but opportunity, because now what else can they be working on? The last thing I saw that I want people to notice is that, man, Andrew, if I had your systems, I would think that I was done. Honestly, this whole time, I'm like, man, Andrew can't get any better. He really can't. He's done. He's ready to walk away. And at the end of this episode, you told me that you, over the next 12, 24, 36 months, whatever the metric may be for you, you want to button down your systems even more. I would say out of all the podcasts I've had, very few of them have systems that you have. And you, going forward, want to button down your systems more. It's insane to me. I want everybody to take note of that. No matter how good you think you are, you always have the opportunity to be better.
For sure.
So, bro, I love this episode. Grateful for you coming on. I'm sure the listeners are grateful for you coming on. You guys are here first. I'm hiring Andrew as my mentor. dude, seriously, such a fun episode. Thank you so much for going into the details, sharing the companies that you're using to integrate all your software.
Just taking a picture of it.
How can people get a hold of you, brother?
Man, I can give you anybody can reach out to me at any time. My email address is Andrew. I'm not going to give you the Neighborhood Revival email address because I just get overloaded, you know, on that. But kind of my personal, you know, reach out is Andrew@victoryres.com. Okay. And so I've kind of organized my real estate operations under Victory Residential. And so Neighborhood Revival is a part of that. But we do some other stuff too, like Airbnbs and I'm gonna be the best Airbnb. I'm already a super host after a month. I'm excited about that.
Let's go. Then,
so yeah, there's some other stuff that we're doing that's interesting, but Andrew@victoryres.com. Shoot me an email and then we can, you know, schedule time, jump on a call. Like, I'm happy to help. I mean, I really, you know, I want people to be successful in this business. I think it's a great way to that people can literally, you know, walk away from full-time jobs and successful careers. I mean, I was making a lot of money working for a Fortune 500 company and walked away from that to do this. And I work from home right now, dude. I can go down and see my kid and hang out and, you know, travel when I want to. We were at the beach for 10 days and, you know, I didn't have to take a vacation off from anybody. So this is a great business and I like helping people. So reach out anytime.
Absolutely, brother. We appreciate that. Let's wrap this episode up. One of my favorite questions is, Andrew, if you lost it all today, what would you do to gain it back? You have no money. You have none of your properties. It's just you and a cell phone. What are you going to do?
Man, I would throw a couple steaks on the grill with my wife and we would go, we would go chill out, have a nice dinner. And the next day I would call, network is important. I would call the top 10 high net worth guys that I know. And I guarantee you, I would raise several million dollars by the end of that day before lunch. And we'd be starting all over again. So that's super important. This whole podcast, and you probably talk about it all the time, Noah, but mentorship, I didn't have that when I started out. I had mentors, not necessarily in real estate, but you can sharpen, your process and really kind of lower the learning curve if you have a mentor. And it's the most critical thing in the world. People starting out, you got to have one, in my opinion. So mentor network, go build it.
Love it, man. Good book or podcast you recommend people to check out that maybe you've used to help build your business or build you?
Man, you know, one of the best podcasts that I listen to is not a single family home. I'm a single family home operator, but it's called the Trepp Wire, T-R-E-P-P Wire. And I feel like those guys, it's all commercial real estate and multifamily and retail, but they take it's a group that's has a big office in Dallas and New York. And they have a very commercial view of the market, and the things that they talk about are very important and pertinent to all types of real estate. And so I feel like they have a very good macro view of how the economy operates and how that affects real estate. And so I listen to that every time there's a new Trepp Wire episode. I'm listening to that podcast every single time. So it's really good. Y'all should go check it out.
Love that, brother. Thank you so much for joining us today. And you guys, Andrew left his email. If you want to get a hold of him, send him an email. He's super easy to get a hold of. I mean, I met you on Facebook and we just started connecting, and now I consider you a close friend. So we got to get together in person sometime, man.
Yeah, for sure, man. Yeah, always good to talk to you, man. Appreciate the time.
Hey, have a good day. See ya.
You too, man. See ya.
All right. Thanks for tuning into this week's episode, you guys. For more awesome real estate content, you can check out my Instagram. It's just Noah_Evans_real estate. It'll also be in the show notes. If you want to reach out to the guest, their contact information and websites and however else to get a hold of them will also be in the show notes. All of our podcast episodes get thrown up to YouTube. And for more awesome exclusive content, please go check out the website. We'll have that link in the show notes below as well. All right. Peace.